Blog Talk Radio. Women's but it's Tackle Football Group. .meme.com. That's where you, if you want to know anything about women's football, that's where it's at. If you want to know the latest videos and stuff like that, you go there. The latest information, you go there. So anyway, let's do it like we always do. We gotta start it off by, you know, and it's a deep kick. Because that's what we talk about here on Four Horse Coach League. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's go ahead and start this bad boy off with quarter number one. Quarter number one, the United World Football Association. That's right, the United World Football Association was just announced this past weekend, and it is definitely one of the hottest topics on the name board. I think within the last, since Friday? Since it was announced, actually December 16th, it has gotten like about 60 responses, and that's pretty good. That's pretty hot. But let me tell you what the United World Football Association is. Basically, I'll read the little PR announcement. The United World Football Association has been formed. The UWFA is not a league. It is an association open to all teams regardless of league affiliation. We run a postseason fall tournament that allows teams to compete for an undisputed national championship. For $500 per team, you get price will lower as more teams sign on over the minimum requirement. But anyway, for $500, you get a national championship trophy. You get a national championship bowl rings. Site to be held in either the Metrodome in Minnesota. Well, it won't be the Metrodome now, if that's the same Metrodome I'm thinking about that collapsed for the Vikings, but, you know, no pun intended, it's just that's what it says on here. Or the Unidome, which is in Cedars Falls, Iowa. A $10,000 cash prize, depending on if the minimum teams are met. We even have a division set up for independent teams. Everyone gets a chance to earn their way to a championship. Registration starts now. You can go to UWFA. Sports at Yahoo, I mean not at Yahoo, but at Hotmail.com. Again, that's UWFA Sports at Hotmail.com. Again, this press release was sent out on the 16th. The UWFA will start with three divisions of play, a women's division, a men's division, and a youth division. Websites to follow in the coming weeks. And the creator or the administrator of this organization is Randall Fields. I think it's great. You know, again, this is my opinion of everything that's talked about here. I don't speak for nobody but myself. My voice is not the voice of any league or any person or any team. It's the voice of me, myself, and I. That's Coach Lee. And my thing when I first read it, I thought it was cool. I thought it was great. But as I'm getting more into it, more in detail, of what's going on, you know, is it a fall league? You know, is it a one game tournament? You know, you keep playing until you fall off, or, you know, I read somewhere down here that you play 8 games and then it goes into a playoff. I mean, it's not totally clear as of yet, and I understand, you know, the announcement was great, great logo and all the other stuff, but it's not super clear for everybody, and I'm pretty sure Randall will follow up with some press releases and some things of that nature. And like I said, I think it's a great idea to a point, and then I don't think it's a great idea as an owner of a team due to the fact that if it's an 8-week season, then you actually need to host more games. You actually need to do more travel, and we can barely finish up, you know, regular season. Let alone falling back, you know, 3 months later and trying to put together the same type of budget for 8 more games in the playoffs. So it's not quite understood yet. Like I said, I don't know if it's an 8-game season or is it a 64-team round robin tournament or 96 round robin tournament. Again, you know, guaranteed 2 games. Will all the teams be in one place at one time over one particular weekend? Those are just some of the things that you know, again, I'm asking, and I'm pretty sure there's others out there. Again, you know, if this was a flag football tournament, you know, you can fly, all the teams can fly in, you can play 3 or 4 games, you know, over a 2-day period and get you an undisputed flag football tournament. But for football, it's just too much time in preparation unless it's going to be spread out, again, like I said, over 6 to 8 weeks, which, again, is going to be another financial situation for those teams that are established. You got some players that just can't take the time off, so the teams won't be as good as they were during the regular season. You have teams that have won their respective league championships that, you know, watch if they go play in something where they already beat half the teams anyway, so why do they have to prove it again? You know, again, if it was, you know, the top 8 teams in the country, being at the automatic qualifiers where you won your league championship, and then maybe the runner-ups, you know, and put them in different, I don't know. Like I said, it's good ideas out there. I'm not going to say there's bad ideas, but there's good and there's better. And like I said, I think this is on the verge of being a good idea, but it just needs to be more defined, more thought out, more things involved. And like I said, there's not many teams out here that have the money. And I'm speaking as an owner of a team that has been around for 6 years and been very competitive, to be able to elongate a season beyond playoffs. I mean, we played 3 games into the playoffs this year and were struggling. You know, I was grateful that the championship game was going to be here in Vegas. That was our motivation. So, again, to do all this traveling and play all these games, just with your... Yeah.
Where's the old one?
I don't know.
The one with Rocky on it.
With Rocky in it?
Okay.
Oh, hold on. So, again, it just be hard pressed to be able to put together a full season and then put together a postseason, you know, back to back. I mean, again, with the experience that I've had going from the WPFL in the fall and then following it up going into the IWFL in April, that was hell on wheels. Hell on wheels. We went from having 60 players in the WPFL to going down to like 28 players because we went from fall to spring. And then the financial burden of also traveling just really put a dent in the pockets of myself as an owner of a team. So again, it got to be thought out, you know. It got to be worth your while, especially when you've had a long season already. You're talking about, you know, going from April to the end of July for those teams that make the playoffs and go to the championship, and then following that back up in what, taking August off and maybe September, and coming back in, you know, October, November, December. It has its challenges. It definitely has its challenges. But again, that's my opinion. But that's why we got the Ning board and we got other people with their opinions. Let me see. Let me recognize those who are on the Ning board right now. BJ, Dion, that's me. Don, Fu, Greg, and Mike. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Ning board. But again, you know, that's just my opinion. I think it has great merit. I just don't think that it's very feasible to go another 8-week tournament. Like I said, if it was a weekend gig, you know, where all the teams flew in one area and played, but then again, you got to have time to recover, to scout, and, you know, to make it right, you know. So anyway, let me go ahead and continue on with what I'm talking about. For those who don't know, I am talking about the United Women's Football Association. The United Women's Football Association and some of the thoughts and things that people are talking about. So I'm going to go over here on the Ning board and just read a couple comments from what I just read to you to give you an idea of what it was about. Again, you got Michael B. From the Rhinos. If this isn't the best thing to ever happen in women's football or even minor league football, I don't know what is. You got Coach Wu or Coach Dub. Hold on, who's scanning over here? I don't need to be scanning. I love it. I just sent this information to our ownership to see if we can work it out in our budget. You got the New Orleans Blades. Why do we keep fractionizing the sport more? We need to consolidate in order to move women's football forward. I love the idea. I just know that utopia would never exist if everyone keeps creating new opportunities instead of coming together to create one strong league that works together. You got Coach T. Wow, you really need at least 55 to 60 teams each paying $500 each division to make this work. You're talking about $10,000 cash prize, $10,000 for the dome rental, and $6,000 for championship rings. How would you be national champs if this is not a league, or how any league association? It sounds more like a tournament. Then, of course, you know, Randall from the WSFL, how does the NCAA have a national championship? It states in information I left that this is it. This is a tournament. So, again, I don't want to get too personal because some of the emails became kind of combative about this and that. You got John, Mr. Ohio Bucks fan. He's questioning, are the cash prizes of this magnitude legal? Teams are strapped to play 8 games, plus perhaps 4 more postseason games as it is. There's only 3 championships in football, IWFL, WFA, WSFL. And you're saying that those 3 can't decide meeting up and having their own 3-team bracket. But you'll create a 64-team, 6-round tournament in addition to their 8-4-game season, 8-plus-4-game season, on what they already decided in each team respective league, and do it all over again. So, again, you got people going back and forth. I really think that the idea, the concept, is great. You know, and again, I'm kind of going back with what New Orleans Blaze had to say, something, you know, with John said, Spats, about you're asking teams to play in their own league. Some of them go through, you know, 4 extra games in the playoffs and then come back and play 8 more games. You know, the easiest thing to do would be take the top 4 teams, or I mean the top 3 teams of the 3 division champs or league champs, and put them up against each other in a round robin tournament. Because again, you've already gone through the process of elimination with their playoffs and their 64 teams, their 52 teams, and their 30 teams, and their 13 teams, and 10 team leagues or whatever. They've already done the process for you. All you have to do is take the champions. Again, I just don't see it being real feasible to go off and then ask any teams to just get into a tournament. You know, what's going to make them any better, you know, 4 months later than they were 4 months earlier? What's going to make the teams that were good still to be good? Because, you know, again, you got players that get hurt. You got players that go off and do other things, play other sports. Now you're asking somebody to play a full year worth of football. You know, the time commitment as it is already high. So, again, I just think it's just something that needs to be thought about a little bit more in detail. Again, a lot easier to take the 3 teams and do a round-robin tournament, you know, similar to what happened in the football tournament overseas with USA coming out on top. Something to that magnitude over a 10-day period with 3 teams or even 4 teams or something like that would suffice. Anybody out there who got something to say about it or have, you know, want to do something live about it, you can dial in 347-826-7278, press pound and 1 or 1 and pound, and it'll be on like Donkey Kong. You can speak your mind, speak what you got to do, say what you got to say, because you are rocking 4 quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio each and every Monday night. I know it's Monday Night Football going on, but you know what? My show is a little bit more informative than the Monday Night Football. So anyway, I'm glad to see you guys here. I'm glad to see you guys are rocking it with me. And like I said, I mean, this is a good topic, you know. Again, it got 60 responses since Thursday. 60 responses since Thursday, which is just great. Again, and that's what the Ning Board is all about. It's about putting out ideas, you know. Sometimes they're going to be supported. Sometimes they're going to be not. But you got to be willing to be able to face the face, you know, face the audience. And like I said, it's about 50-50 on the responses that I go down in support of and in not support. But it would be nice, again, if all the leagues, you know, fell under this United tournament. Maybe, you know, 3 weeks after the championships are decided. And like I said, making it over a 2 day, I say 4 day, 7 day process. But again, it's going to cost, you know, it's going to take sponsors. And again, we backtracking, you know, we haven't gotten that locally. And I know the intent of this whole United tournament is to try to put together the best of the best and then bring, you know, sponsors in to see where we can go from there. You know, like I said, it's great ideas out there, you guys. Just we need to think them through. And like I said, I think the end result could be, you know, that the three leagues that exist, champions could be in tournament. I think that's about as far as we can go with it, to be honest. It's no telling where we're going to go, but we just need some stability. Right now, teams are here and there, everywhere. You know, do teams even have to be in the league to be in a tournament? It'd be worth their while to be in it because they don't have any games. But if they could just get out and play ball, it would be good. So I don't know if I got any questions, any concerns regarding. I'm on the Ning board. I'm about to go into the chat room just to double check, see if anybody had any response to what we got going on. I love you too, food. Matter of fact, food, just saying food, make me hungry, food. But like I said, everyone has their opinion. My opinion is not the best opinion at all times. It's just how I feel and how I think. And like I said, just putting years and effort and money and promotions behind this, I just know that making a separate tournament, being i.e. another eight games, or being that you got to have 64 teams. We don't have to have 64 teams or 32 teams to determine who the champs are, you know. Again, the leagues have already done that. They've already determined who the best is in their league, and that's who they're representing. So, again, if we got three teams and maybe a fourth team, I don't know how we can go about that, but I'm pretty sure there's some clever people out there that the runner-up from one of those leagues could possibly be in the tournament as a wild card or just champions only. That's how you declare. You declare it as what it is. You know, the champions of each league, you've already went through your league and went through your playoffs and your single elimination process, and you became the champ. And if we want to have an undisputed champ like boxing try to do, you know, hey, we fight it out on the football field. We don't create another opportunity for a third and fourth place team and even a last place team to be in the tournament again, you know. So, again, I'm loving it. I love it. I love the ideas. And, again, that's what the Ning Board is for, is to express ideas and let people, you know, go through them with a fine-tooth comb and find out, you know, if they'd ride or not. And just personally, as an owner, I just don't think it's going to ride just due to the fact of the financial obligations that each team already has. Yeah, you say $500 is nothing. I understand that. But that is $500 to be in the tournament. That's, you know, we're talking about travel? Are we talking about busing? Are we talking about hotel rooms? Are we talking about food? You know, again, for an average team to fly, it's going to cost, you know, anywhere between $400 to $500 per person. And then you're talking about them taking out work for at least, you know, 7 to 10 days. So, again, that's all. Let's just think about a little bit more. Like I said, I think the concept is there. I think we just need to narrow down the amount of teams. And maybe it shouldn't even be a fee. Again, maybe the league should put up $1,000 per league to do the PR and all this other stuff. That I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas. Why should the teams at that point in time have to pay? You know, and again, that's part of some of the problems that we've been talking about. Why should I have to pay to play? You know, so again, we'll work on it. We'll work on it. We will work on it. All righty. Let me take a little quick water break, real quick. Quick water break. All right. If I don't got no calls in on that, there's no problem. It is no problem. All righty. The next quarter. Let's move on. Quarter number two. Which was another hot topic on the Ning board. Where did it go? Oh, here we go. I don't know if I talked about this or not. If I did, please hit me and I'll just stop talking about it. But again, are we trying to get along or are we playing dirty? Was something that we got quite a few responses with. And again, I was, you know, like I said, I go through everybody's website to see what, you know, what others are doing. What are they doing to promote? What are they doing to help women's football? And what are they doing to work with each other, being their partners in league or their partners in city? And I always use my experience. That's the word I'm looking for, my experience. You know, am I buddies with the legacy team? No, I'm not buddies with the legacy team, so I'm not going to even fake the funk. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not, you know. It's just where it's at. And again, this is my experience. But am I willing to work with them for a cause? Of course, because it's about promoting women's football. You know, when we get on the football field, then that's when we'll take it out and do what we need to do. But I'm not going to sit up here and bash them. I'm not going to sit up here and talk crap about them. And I hope they feel the same way about us. You know, we're creating that rivalry. It's almost to the good that we have this rivalry. Because, again, it's going to build up interest here in the city of Las Vegas if done correctly. And when I say done correctly, I'm talking about teams being able to respect each other, to stay off the Facebook pages and talking smack about each other. And I'm not talking about smack, I'm talking poop, you know, and trying to bring up dirt here, dirt there, dirt everywhere. You know, we don't want it to be a dirty rivalry. Again, that takes place on the football field. But, you know, a lot of teams out there got to realize maybe your organization ain't all that. And people want to leave and go elsewhere. And you have to understand that. That's fine. But how are you going to keep your team on the map? You know, there's other cases out there that I've seen that there's new teams popping up and they're getting just as much, if not more, press than the team that's been established. Maybe they got people on board that know what they're doing. It don't hurt to pick up the phone and ask, how did they do that? I know my phone rings all the time, and people ask me all the time, how do I do this and how do I do that? And I just tell them it takes persistence and determination to make it happen. I don't give up on the first no. But I'm not afraid to share my knowledge, you know, and that's some of the things that local teams will have issues with, you know. I look on the schedule, you know, if local teams are in the same league, you know, you would hope that the league or the people that are putting together the schedule have some kind of respect for each of those teams and the fans, you know, and help, you know, put the teams out there and not play the games at the same time, on the same days, you know, and have them on the road at the same time, you would think that it should be alternated. And again, these are just some of the concerns that some people have expressed. Again, I get emails all the time for those who want to email questions or, you know, want me to talk about different stuff. You can always hit me at Las Vegas Showgirls, that's showgirlz.com, at yahoo.com. You can hit me on the Ning board, on my personal inbox. And like I said, you know, some people question, you know, why did the WFA schedule, for instance, Legacy and Showgirl games at the same time? When we on the road, they on the road. When we at home, they at home. And I say, hey, I don't have no input on who scheduled who what. All I do is play whoever's on my schedule. That's personally, that's just how I live. I don't care who's on my schedule. I don't care who's playing where, you know. But again, if we want this to to work out in some kind of harmony, those things have to be in consideration. And that way, maybe the two teams can get together, like I know with the California Quake and the LA Amazons did last year. They honored each other's season passes. So, you know, if LA was out of town and the fans wanted to go to the Quake game, if they showed their season passes, they got in the game. If I was a Quake, I'm happy because then I got more butts in the seats. And guess what? I get to sell more hot dogs and Cokes at a 1,000% markup. So, you know, again, if each one helped each other instead of playing dirty, as what the topic was, you know, how could we help each other in promoting each other? You know, create the friendly rival. Can't wait to June 18th when we have a throwdown here in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? The greatest show on turf versus whatever their slogan is. It doesn't matter. But again, we got to create that hype. We got to go to the newspaper. You know, I hope they get as much news press as we get. I hope they get as much TV press as we get. Because then people say, oh, there's other teams. And now they're going to pick a side. It's just like Star Wars. Either you're going to be a Jedi or you're going to be a Sith. Oh, what is it, a Sith? I don't know. I need my son over here. He's a Jedi master, Star Wars guru. But, you know, the dark side and the light side or whatever it is, the theme, people can pick and choose. And that's what it's about. You got to create that. But you can't play dirty amongst each other. You can't be putting dirty laundry out there. You can't be trying to steal somebody else's web domain and create it for yourself. I mean, like I said, these are the little things I've seen. You can't go on radio shows and just slander somebody. You know, you can't go into the blogs and just slander somebody. That ain't helping. You know, play clean with it. You know, take care of the business on the football field. That's what I've been saying for the last 6 years. You're not that good unless you play me on the football field. We can talk all the smack we want here on these boards, but until you play on the football field, then, you know, shut them up, shut them down, you know, turn around. So, anyway, again, you know, are we trying to get along or are we playing dirty? And like I said, I'm glad to see that all three leagues have opened their doors to have interleague play, meaning that you can go outside your league and play as long as it doesn't interfere with your schedule. You know, I'm glad that we can do that now because, again, it takes some of the dirtiness away from what we were doing. Again, we can make it happen on the football field. Again, we can make it happen on the football field. You know, some things are, you know, are going down. And like I said, you know, I don't care if they're the truth or not. I just stay within my circle, within my realm of my team and promote the young ladies that have come out. I got a couple of emails about the video I did. You know, with my team. And I took some of the players that are returning and I made a video with them. You know, because I felt if I would have made a video of all the action and if somebody, you know, that was on my team at that time and decided to go elsewhere, you know, oh, you're promoting me. You can't. I can. As a team owner and owner of the logo and trademark of the Showgirls, I can use my videos that you were in or anybody else was in because we're promoting the team. I'm not promoting you as an individual. We're promoting the team. You know, that is what we do. I'm running back over to the Neem board for a hot second because I see there's quite a few people who have joined on or been back. I've been walking around. Yes, I can go back. Oh, wow, I got to go back to all the way to 720. But anyway, it's dirty. Okay, there we go. Rivalry, competition, and people are scared of competition. Rivalry, yeah. Hey, I agree with that, Coach Culver, about, you know, rivalry. Some people are scared to play each other because they don't want it to affect their organization, win or lose, you know. For me, I want to play against the best no matter what, win or lose, because I'm going to learn something either way. By winning, I'm going to learn something. By losing, I'm going to learn something. But again, we have to create rivalry. We don't have enough rivalry out there, and that's why we're not getting enough press. But again, keep it clean. Lacey Down said, we have a great rivalry with Austin, and it's tough, fun, competitive game, but never dirty. Well, that's true. Like I said, rivalry don't mean necessarily dirty. The fact is, you know, you play in the dirt. That's what I'm getting at. You ain't got to be dirty in your rivalry. But it's nothing like, you know, traveling. I can't wait to play the Legacy. I mean, for instance, we got 300 fans. And they get 300 fans to their home games. And when we play, because that's 600 people watching us play who didn't have to travel anywhere. That's what rivalry creates. I can go back to my high school days in Carson, California, and our rivalry was Banning High School, which was 3 miles away from us. We would have 15,000 people at our football game when we played during the regular season, and then when we matched up in the championship game, we would have 30,000 because all the other teams aren't playing and they're watching us. It's nothing like that. It's nothing like going to middle school or junior high school back in the day when half the school has to go to Carson, the other school has to go to Banning, and the week that we play, all you hear is Carson, Banning, Carson, Banning. Man, that was so cool as a junior high school student. Then when I got to Carson, oh, man, it was off the hook. Same thing that's created here. We have to create it, okay? Food. I don't fault the Maniac and Taboo being hostile to each other. I don't believe Modesto can support two teams at once. And I know for a fact that the one team that they can support isn't very good as it is, let alone players being lured over to the Taboo. Yeah. I think it was some dirtiness going on in recruiting. You know, most of the teams out there have been started because somebody didn't agree with the coaches or the management and decided to start their own team. But see, what I've learned is the ladies aren't loyal to the team. They're not loyal to the name. They're not loyal to the brand. They're loyal to each other, as it's been told to me. I'm going to go play over there, coach, because those are my girls. You know, those are my football buddies. That's who I grew up playing football with. Hey, I totally understand that if you're going to come to me and tell me that. But to make that assumption on your own and just go, it might not be the best fit for you. But most teams out here, and I would say it's a domino effect, I would say 90% of the teams were started from a player who didn't agree with coaches, management, or whatever, and decide to start their own team, especially if they're in the same city. You know, I can't say from town to town, from state to state, but I'm going to say from teams that are in city to city, that you might have two, three, four teams in one city. One of those players got the experience from another team and started the other team. But again, the lesson that I've learned is the girls aren't loyal to the brand. They're not loyal to the coaching staff. They're not loyal to the ownership. They're loyal to themselves. And my response to that question or that loyalty is you didn't know none of the girls when you first came out here. It's not like that whole group came out here to play football together. You came out here on a flyer, on the word of a coach, word of an owner. But most of the girls didn't recruit the girls to come play football. Again, just my personal experience, you guys. You know, like I said, it might not be true for all the other teams, but when I was told that, I now have a new insight on what's going on when these teams do split and go somewhere else. You know, they don't go on factual evidence. They don't go on the fact that, you know, the team is doing well or winning or losing or whatever. It's the loyalty amongst the players, the bond they have, they've created. Over this time period of being on the team is why they fractioned off and went elsewhere. The same thing with the leagues, you guys. There's no league that have started with fresh new teams, you know, in a long time. It started because you had disgruntled owners who either got kicked out, either didn't like, or felt a change was needed. You know, and then others follow based on the same type of situation. If they go, we go. You know, so again, in these new teams and how they're coming about. We have to understand the history of how their teams have gotten started. Again, my thing is, if you do split off, hey, respect the team that you just left. Now, I wouldn't even worry about them. I'll just create my own team. People ask me why I created my own team. Hey, it's because I want to be the best. I can accept that. Personally, I can accept that. But, again, the loyalty is not in the brand. It's not in the coaching staff. It's not in the ownership. It's in the bond and friendship that these ladies get amongst themselves. And, honestly, it's kind of backwards if you're thinking that way. I'm just going through my childhood and through my high school and college days. Most of us guys went to a team because we were, now I'm not going to say loyal, but we bought into the system that they ran. We loved the coaching staff that was there. We loved the school or the school colors, or because they were on TV all the time, you know? We bought into the system. Now, if somebody came on my team and decided to leave, I'm always here until 8 o'clock. Thank you. Interruptions. Anyway, you know, as guys, we went to the best high school to compete. You know, I've always wanted to compete. I never wanted nothing given to me. Again, I'm a son of a coach, and when I was young, I was probably the best basketball player on the team. But my dad always went out and recruited better basketball players. Next thing you know, I went from starting to being the sixth man on the coming off the bench to being the end man on the bench because he wanted me to compete against the best. Some ladies don't compete or don't want to compete. They just want to play. Again, you got to know your role. I know I'm getting off topic a little bit, but again, part of some of the fraction and the dirty talk and the dirty play is because of that. You got to want to compete. You know, I don't want to be on the football field if I'm not the best. You know, if somebody's better than me, then they should be out there. I need to compete to get better. So, again, there's a whole bunch of things out there, but keep it clean. Let me see if there's anything else talking about this subject real quick on the NEEM board. Again, Women's Tackle Football Group.NEEM.com. Again, Women's Tackle Football Group.NEEM.com. Some people are talking about the football game that's on. Here we go, Dion. If the league is and teams are going to play dirty, then you got to do what you got to do to stay alive. I'm not gonna say sit there and be stupid and get beat up on and get dirt in your face. You know, I don't think that two wrongs make a right. But enough is enough at some point in time where you just gotta say, you know what, this is it. And you move on, you know. I'm not going to beg anybody. And I think I proved that this year, you know. And, again, I use my personal experience. When the girls from my team were leaving, I just drew the line in the sand and said, either you're going to play for them or you're going to play for me. I just need to know an answer. I'm not going to sit here and beg you to play for me. You know, if you want to ask me, you know, personal questions about, you know, your playing time and how could you get better, we can deal with that. But, you know, I'm not going to beg anybody to be nice to me. Either you want to play for me or you don't. Just let me know. But, yes, I understand Utah Jinx and an independent team will be playing teams from the IWFL, WFA, and WSFL. So you got a schedule. Gotcha, Greg. Rivalries, and this is from Jennifer King. We got rivalries coming with better overall teams. Charlotte claims to be our rival because they are close, but they have beaten us once in like 8 games. I don't consider them a rival. You sound like the Boston Celtics, Jennifer King, and the New York Knicks. Yes, it hasn't been much of a rivalry, but it's not about wins and losses in the rivalry. It's splitting hairs. It's having family members on both sides of the fence. It's Bonnie and Clyde. It's fighting to the whistle blows and to the gun pops. So it's not about wins and losses, but it does have to do with a lot of closeness as far as, you know, geographic areas. So I hear you. They won 1 game out of 8, I understand. But you know what? They might be on y'all tail this year. You don't know. Let's see what else we're talking about. I'm just going through this real quick. Moving right along. Hey, I got Coach Bartley on the line. Go ahead, put Coach Bartley on. Let's move on. Coach B, what you got?
What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. Just like I said, just talking through this, just going through a couple things that were high conversational pieces on the Women's Tackle Football group.meme.com board. But what you got to add to the table, man, to the soup, to the gumbo?
Well, I'll put it to you like this, man. And I was reading through, and I had to, you know, voice my opinion on a couple. One has to do with the whole tier system again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not understanding why everybody is a proponent for the tier system. I mean, personally, I feel like if you know how to coach, if you know how to teach, it shouldn't matter who you play, that you'll be able to compete if you're doing your job right.
Okay.
Regardless of who you got on your team, because let's face it, you know, and this is just my opinion, but a good coach is an excellent teacher. And if you can take an average athlete, and if you got a whole team full of average athletes, you can turn those average athletes into a championship caliber team.
Yes, you can.
If you got someone who may lack in some skill, but if they're out there to play and they're willing to learn, you can turn them into an exceptional athlete. So
right.
They can get out there and compete. So what I'm not understanding is how can some of these coaches actually sit here and settle for playing in a quote-unquote weaker division?
Well, you know, to be honest, I know you puzzled there. To be honest, I think it's everybody being sensitive. And in all fairness, we want life to be fair. You know, that's the side that I'm hearing, that I'm reading. You know, everybody wants a fairness in football. It's not fair that you're in Vegas and you can put together a brand new team with 50 new players. Well, I'm in Tumbleweed, California, and we don't have the luxury of getting 50 players. We're lucky to suit up 18.
And see, that's what, and again, if you don't got the skills to teach the game the way it should be played, don't come on the sideline.
Okay.
And you know as well as I've done, you know, I'll give you a good example. I went through a whole season with the SoCal Breakers with 17 players.
Right.
And all 17 players were very competitive every game.
Yes, they were. I can attest to that.
Win, lose, or draw, we finished with a 4-4 record. However, against some of the best teams in the league, we competed, and we competed well. Why? Because I took the extra time needed to teach, then coached them up when it was ready for game time.
Right.
You know, and you know as well as I know, I didn't have the best athletes.
Right. You put right players in the right spots.
I put the right players at the right spot.
Yep.
And a good coach can do those things. I didn't have to settle for no tier system. What was my biggest – what you know as well as I know, because you're the same type of person, I want the big dog.
Yeah.
If you claim to be the best, you step on the same field with my girls and let's see who's the best.
Exactly.
And if you beat me, then you were the better team on that day. But I guarantee you it won't be an easy victory.
Right. Definitely that.
And that's the mentality that a lot of these coaches got to have. And I see a lot of these coaches don't have.
Right, because, again, they're being sensitive to in all fairness. You know, like I said, football ain't fair. You know, people are complaining about the scores. You know, how are you going to tell your third-string running back not to score a touchdown if you catch a third string in there? You know, I want them to get as much experience as I do the first team, because when we play a team that a third string person can't get in the game, you know, it's just experience, or if somebody goes down, you know. But again, I see it as being they're being sensitive to saying that they want it to be fair. And me and you are on the side that says, life ain't fair, so football ain't fair. The best
exactly.
team, the best team and the best coaches win, you know.
Exactly.
And I seen something in there talking about, well, I can have 35 average bodies, you know. Nobody said you're going to win, but can you make them competitive? And I think that's what we've been able to do. You know, I'm not talking smack this year like I was last year, because I knew that I turned those average 35 girls into good football players after a year or two under their belts. You know, but that's not going to stop me playing. Oh, you know what? You need to put me in a lower tier. I got 45 girls and none of them play football. What am I going to do now?
You know as well as what's the first thing that if you're a head coach, what are you supposed to do? You're going out for athletes. You know, you're not just going out for warm bodies to fill a jersey. Because
right.
let's face it, if you're going to come out here to play football, you come out here to win.
Yeah.
And if you're just going, and honestly, if you're going out there with that mentality, girls just want to have fun, you're in the wrong sport. Go to baseball.
Yeah.
Go to softball. Go to tennis.
Go play flag football.
You know, we're trying to legitimize this level of football. And when you got coaches out here who just want to have fun, who want to settle for being in a lower bracket, you're discrediting the sport. You're degrading these women. You're telling these women that they're not good enough to compete with the best. And I'm sorry. Any player that steps on my field, whether man, woman, or child, you're coming out there for one thing, and that's to win the championship.
That's the goal.
And that I make that known from day one. And as I get ready to make my trip back into the pros here coming up soon, that's going to be the same philosophy I'm handing out to these young men that are going to be playing for me.
Right.
We come to win, point blank. We do whatever we have to do to win. But I'm tired. I'm telling you, I get sick and tired of these coaches settling like they just, I don't know what it is.
Well, like I said, they don't want to put the extra time in. They don't want to put the extra effort. You know, again, my thing is this. As a coach or over the years, I put in more time than players are actually on the field, you know, outside time. Then when I'm on the field, my clock is never in 2 hours. It officially ends in 2 hours, but I'm still there an hour, hour and a half later, because you have some players who have attitude that they want to get better, and I'm more than willing to want to stay to get better.
Exactly.
And those are the ones you want to coach. You know, those are the ones you want to move forward. And again, a lot of the coaches just say, oh, 2 hour practice? All right, 2 hours, we're done. See y'all. Right, I got to go home. Well, I got a wife and kids, you know, just like the average person, too. But I'm going to put my heart and soul into this game to make us the best that we can be, then it got to come from the top. It got to come from the coach. You can't be a coach saying, I just want to play average ball. You know, step your game up. You can't play average ball because I'm here to smash down on you. I'm here to beat you. Me and you can have what we call rivalry, what I was talking about, because we create that rivalry. You know, we talk stuff to each other. I was going to say the S word, but we talk stuff to each other all year long. You know, the week of the game, we don't say that to each other. And then still we talk to each other and start laughing. I got you. You know, but that's what I'm talking about, the rivalry. It's nothing dirty. Nothing dirty at all. When we play each other, it's not dirty. And we create the hype. And
that's
then
that's the love of the game. And if people can't understand that, then they should not be out there involved with football.
Right. My thing is this. I understand where some teams are coming from. Well, we're a brand new team. We just started. Well, guess what? Sometimes you got to take the bumps and bruises. We were a brand new team at one time. Like I said, my first year was 2-5. Second year was 2-6. I played the Amazons twice. I played SoCal Scorpions twice. I played the Houston Energy. I played the Dallas Diamonds. Well, they were supposed to beat us. But what we did was we learned each and every game. And that lopsided score got smaller and smaller each year. And then we all went separate ways where I thought we were on the same page that we can compete with them and we all go different ways, you know, but that's what happens. But I'm never going to step down from a challenge. Never step down from a challenge. If Coach Anthony got the better team and you beat me, you know what? I mean, I need to go home and do my homework to get better. What can I do better next time that I play? What trick can I pull out of my hat next time? I always got to have something.
But you know what? A lot of these guys have got to get out of that mentality of just because they're a first-year team that, you know, they can't do nothing. Hell, I had a first-year team.
Mm-hmm.
I won a championship with a first-year team. You know, it's no biggie. I had a first-year team. Almost made the playoffs with that first-year team. You know, it doesn't matter. It's what you do with what you got. And if you make it work, then it is what it is.
Yes. Well, you know, I hear you. Again, in our game right now, we all come from the same – we're pulling from the same talent pool. A bunch of women athletes who have no experience in football. Now it's your job to teach them the game of football, you know. Some people are talking about, well, high school have different classes. You have a 5A, 4A, 3A based on population. Well, you know, if it works for them. But that's like Coach Christian that had Tyler back there at running back. And which quarterback was the Charlotte team, Austin? Remember, they wanted to compete for a state championship, but because they were a small school of 1,000 less players. They had to play in the 3A California State Championship. But they could have beat any 5A or 1A team. I mean, 1A is California because they had the talent.
Yeah, and now look at them. I mean, you see them going up against the Long Beach Follies, the Crenshaws, and the Carsons, and, you know, all the big California name schools, you know. They letting everybody know they can play with the big boys too. Saint Bonaventure, same thing, you know.
Right. But then you got coaches talking about that the NFL doesn't have tiers, WNBA don't have tiers, but then, you know, answered by Don because it's pro. Again, we haven't defined ourselves. Uh oh, is that my music, coach? We gotta go.
That
baby.
Is your music.
Man, we tune in next week, dog. We get this thing going. All right.
Oh, most
thanks for
definitely.
Calling. Thanks for calling us. Yo, that was my boy, Coach Bartley, former coach of the Breakers, OC Breakers, former coach of the California League. And like I said, man, he puts it down, and he's like me. He wants to compete with the big dogs. He wants to compete with the big dogs. If I don't compete against the big dogs, I don't even want to be in this game. You know, if I can't match my brain with the best coaches out there, I'm wasting my time. I don't want to be in this. The challenge is bringing something, nothing to something, and from something to being good. You know, yes, I believe in. We can't compare developed pro league to our league. I'm a believer of that. You know, but we all pull from the same talent pool. Women athletes that have no experience playing football, soccer, football, in whole state. Again, coach them up. Let's get out there and ball. Stop using excuses. Go out there and win. Go out there and lose. You learn and live to play this game to the key. So one day we'll get something that's united with. And like I said, if y'all want to team up with us, we'll be in the regional league. We'll get out of our regional league. It's going to take a lot of hell to get out, but we're going to be there. But anyway, hey, this is Coach Lee. I am rocking out right now. I am about to get up out. So I will see you guys next week. If you got anything you want to talk about or anything you want me to talk about, hit me up on the Women's Soccer Football Group .neen.com board or hit me at Las Vegas Showgirls @yahoo.com. As my boy PE, public enemy number one, and for everybody else, I am out.